Hi, everybody. TGIF. Thank goodness it is Friday. Actually, it's Friday, April 2nd, day after April Fool's Day, obviously, 2021. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you for being with us today or whenever you're listening. You're probably listening on the archives. A lot of people do, and we appreciate that as much as we appreciate our live listeners. We have a lovely show for you today with a good friend, Dr. Maria Armstrong. One of my favorite people. You talk to Maria, just love her. Okay, she is the executive director of the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents, better known as ALAS, and it's alasedu.org. If you want to learn more, the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents. How important is this? Okay, to get people that kids can recognize in front of them, and give people of all colors and creeds the opportunity to move ahead. They advocate for America's students, and they are truly a champion for marginalized youth in our nation's schools, as they represent tons of Latino folks in administration and the superintendencies of schools. Maria will be on in just a second. Wanted you to know that our brand new issue of Equity and Access, our online journal from the American Consortium of Education, of Equity in Education, ACE-ED.org, our brand new April issue is out. Okay, it's up on site. It's an online journal. You'll love it if you read it. Go over to ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org. Okay, that's our American Consortium for Equity. You are cordially invited to go over there and join with us. Everything we do over there is free. The purpose of it is to get the educator voice out there. Okay, so you're welcome to write for us, et cetera, et cetera. So please check it out. All our podcasts are over there as well. ACE-ED.org, and you'll love that new issue. Just click on the magazine icon and go for it and read and enjoy. And good morning to my friend Maria. How are you?
Larry Jacobs.
Hi, babe. How you
fabulous.
Doing?
Hey, you know, I'll tell you what. Thank you so much for the love you send my way. I'm sending it right back to you, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Maria. And you are just so wonderful to talk. I just love having you on the show and talking to you and emailing with you and all that sort of stuff. Okay, you're just great. You really carry the ball for the Latino side of education. I really appreciate that. Sadly, Dr. Weza has not called in. Okay, and I want to introduce him anyway. Okay, all right,
yeah,
Maria,
yeah,
you were going to
please.
Yeah, we were going to have on the show with us, and Bree, you're going to have to help me. How do you pronounce his first name?
Federica, Dr. Federica Atiba Weza, and he's the executive director for the National Alliance of Black School Educators.
Well, another
NABSE.
Exactly, NABSE. Okay, the National Association. Excuse me, National Alliance of Black School Educators, Dr. Federica Atiba Weza, okay? And he's supposed to call in. He did. Hopefully we can set up a show with him in the future. But you two groups are working together, and that is an incredibly important group. And it always I have to tell you about that group. When I was a kid in school, we had many African-American teachers. Okay, and there was never a question that they were African-American or they were just our teachers. Okay, that's just exactly the way everybody looked at it. Okay, and I think people don't really get that as much as they should. Okay, but that was so important in my youth growing up in Philadelphia. Okay, and actually we had very few Latino. That's actually an interesting point. Back when I was a kid, we had very few Latino teachers, but we had a lot of African-American teachers. I was in Philadelphia, Maria, okay? And to get this thing going, I mean, it's just so important for kids of color, which I am not, okay, to see people of their own race teaching them and moving ahead and all that sort of thing in education, of which school is the formative years. Same thing with Latin people today, Latinx people today, if you like that term, okay? It's just so important. Talk about that, okay, Maria, because you really are an expert on it.
I don't know about all that. I'm an expert in walking in my shoes, I'll tell you. And I think that's what, you know, what we really are trying to voice and articulate is that it's a perspective. You know, like you said,
exactly.
You growing up, you have the experiences you do. And as a kid, you know, you look at your teachers as just that. They're teachers. you don't really, you know, pay a whole
Bingo.
Lot of attention when you're super young about, you know, what their gender is or what their affiliation to anything is. And it's like, you know, you just know them as teacher. And that, you know, that's been kind of just the way that kids function until they're taught other things. You know, as you get older,
That's right.
you have influences and you start to, as it should be, and you start to, you know, form your own self and your own opinions about things. And therein lies life, right? So I think it is important to be able to have a variety of folks that come across your path, particularly when you're young, because it's that perspective that they bring and are able to connect with kids from a different angle. You know, I always
Thank
think
you.
Of life like a prism. You're looking through it, and there's so many angles that you can see through. And if you just take a moment to stop and take a look to make that connection with a student, you know, we talk often about, you know, what you see in the mirror is who you'd like to see in the classroom. Well, it's the same kind of thing. It's, you know, that's why I think with the beauty of ILOS and the things that we are doing as programs for leaders and so forth is that I often get asked the question, do you have to be a Latino to be a part of any of the programs? And I said, absolutely not. It's about the children you serve. What you come to us about is what we are offering is another perspective so that when you are in front of our children, you have a deeper understanding of how to connect with them. They're not going to have the same life experiences as no one does. We all come from different regions. We all come from different cultures. And, you know, that's the joy. That's the thing. If we only can, you know, really look beyond our nose and
yep.
and think about what, not so much what we're, you know, we're paid to give, of course. But it's so much more than that in our profession. We get more out of it than what we give, you know?
That's great. Okay. And to me, I mean, that perspective of having Black and Latino teachers and administrators to me is incredibly important because when I think back on that, okay, that's kind of the way I looked at the world. Okay, and I was always shocked when people didn't look at the world the same way I did because I was so used to this. But I went to a small college, okay, kind of semi-rural Pennsylvania, all right? And mm-hmm. most of the kids who I went with had never had any connection with either Black or Latino people, okay? And it was always shocking to me, okay? I couldn't believe that their attitudes, if I may, were very different from
yeah.
mine. Okay, and it's
yeah.
just so important for everybody because, hey, this is America, okay, and you just got to go with it, you know, and it's just important. What have you been doing with NAPSE, the National Alliance for Black School Educators? I think that's great. What are you doing with them?
Well, you know, it's like you just touched on, you know, this is America, and we're supposed to be this, you know, so advanced. When I think
yeah.
of it as even bigger than that, I mean, our world is so small, I believe it is, because
it is.
In that essence, we are just a microcosm of the macro. So, I mean, the world
yeah.
beyond our borders is so filled with rich experiences. And like I said, the culture, it's so eye-opening that I wish it wasn't just for the privileged few to be able to explore. And here's the beauty of just within our own borders of America. We don't have to travel that far to get exposed. You know, so even in our own neighborhoods, we are reluctant oftentimes to know who our neighbors are. And they are the ones that bring from other areas a whole other view, a whole other, you know, an opening of a door, if you will, to something else that we might not be able to explore, you know. And so I think that that's the beauty of NABSE and ILOS coming together
yeah.
is that, if we, you know, there are those who talk, Larry, and then there are those who walk the talk, right? And we know the difference. And so we've been talking all year about, well, you know, everybody's put into the little checkbox and they go about their business, spinning their wheels, trying to, you know, push the rock up the hill, if you will, when in fact we know that we are better together. We know that we're stronger together.
Yes, thank
and the
you.
More that we can
yes.
do together, we can learn from each other. So, you know, NABCSE has been a great partner this past year. I mean, Atiba, you know, Atiba is one of a kind. That cat.
By the way, he has
out.
Joined
he
us.
Welcomed
By the
me.
Way, he's joined us. Atiba, are you there?
Yay! There's my
Atiba?
That's my buddy over here.
Atiba. I guess it's not him. Somebody
either
joined
that
us,
or
but
Tom
it wasn't him.
To take the mute off.
Atiba?
No, it's
he'll
not Atiba. This is Tahoe.
There he is. Are you? This not Atiba?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you just listen, sir. I'm going to put you on mute, and we'll go from there. Okay? There we go. Okay. I don't know who that was. Okay, but then that person is welcome to listen. Just stay on over there. I don't know who that is. I'm sorry, Atiba is not there. Okay, which is a lot easier to pronounce than Fatalika. I got to tell you, but what you were saying is just—it's so amazingly accurate. Okay, all these things, and it really matters. And you, Maria, I want to ask you a question. This is interesting. Now, we always think of Black educators and Latino, Latinx. What do you want me to say? What do you feel guilty for?
You know,
you don't care.
It's not that I don't care. It's just I'm a part of a generation, and I respect the varied generations. I mean, I love the newcomers coming up there. You know, I remember when I was one, right? But I come from a generation where Latino is that's what was have always been termed as.
No problem.
But
me
the
too.
Young ones coming up, you know, I respect them and I give them their props and call them, you know, by what they want, and that's the Latinx group.
So all right, so we'll do Latinx today. You want to do that one today? We could do that. Respect the younger kids, okay?
You
we're
there
both a little older. Respect the younger kids, okay? So you know. I have to ask this, okay? When we think of African-American, okay, or Latinx administrators and superintendents, most times we think of urban schools, all right? And I'm curious as to how what you're hearing from, in your case, Latinx people, okay, who are administrators, teachers, superintendents, I'm going to say it this way, in less urban districts, suburban or rural, all right?
Mm-hmm.
What, is there a movement? Are we making progress with those districts in terms of hiring Latinx people or African-American, whatever you want to say?
Yeah, you know, it depends. It depends. Geographics plays a big part, I believe, in that. Tradition. You know, longstanding tradition of you know, the way laws have been instilled in certain communities have been, it's been at a snail's pace in many communities. And so I have found even personally where, you know, I've worked in large and very rural small districts, you know, up in the Redwoods, you know, and so it depends where the populations are. And I'll tell you, in rural communities like the ones that I've worked in, it's so separate between oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes where there are the very affluent because of agricultural, geographic regions. And then there's those who work. It's like there are those who own the land and those who work the land.
Yeah.
And it's so split that way that, you know, the families there are high populations of Latinos because those are the folks who are predominantly working the land. And so, you know, you have to think about who are the children that we're serving in our communities. Why aren't we reflecting the decisions that are being made for them by those who have that perspective per se? At least to have the hiring practices reviewed to be able to put people in those positions, whether it's, you know, a principalship or they're leading a school, which is, you know, probably one of the funnest and best jobs I ever had. Or if it is at a cabinet level where, you know, you are, you know, you're part of the central office where you are sharing with the superintendent, you know, the boots on the ground kind of information. You know, you've got to really take a look at that. And I think we're doing, you know, it's been at a snail's pace, but I find that oftentimes the Latino leadership in the smaller communities, and I say small, anywhere from, you know, like 2,000 school student population to, you know, 30, 40,000, 50,000 even. That's considered, you know, a small to mid-sized group there.
Yeah.
Outside of, like you said, in the urban areas. And you know, it's interesting because when I first came to ALAS, I had no clue that at that time, which is just a year ago now, I just celebrated an anniversary here.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Of the five largest districts in the nation, four were held by ALAS a superintendent. And so, you know, it's like, yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, there you go. Hang your hat on that. And so it's you know, it's interesting how we've got a long ways to go, but we've come, you know, we've taken a stride, if you will.
We sure have. And look at Dr. Herrera, the Secretary of Education. I mean, that's
yeah, I was going to get to him, but I was saving him best for last. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, He is the best. You know, but what you said is incredibly important because you said how the kids in, let's just use that rural California area, okay? Those kids are perhaps the children of farm workers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a struggle. It's hard to make a living, okay, in those areas, all right, for their moms and dads. And suddenly they see someone like you, okay, a Latina, okay, who is in running the school. And that has to have I hope that has a tremendous impact on those kids because they see somebody like them, okay, who's in charge of things, okay? What did you see when you worked with those kids? Did you see that actually happen? That, these kids go, wow.
First of all, that's what I am blessed to be able to get up in the morning for, you know. And I'll tell you, that's the thing that you do see it. It wells my heart because it's just so overwhelming when you are walking through classrooms and you're walking through schoolyards and you know, kids look at you and they look at you. And I'll tell you, I'm the first one to say, that's what I look like when I was a kid. That little girl looks just like me, you know. And the thing is, they're looking at me, and they're looking at me, you know, walking with the superintendent. I happen to be the assistant superintendent at the time. I'm walking with the superintendent, and they're looking at me like, wow, you know, and you see it. And then you talk to the high school,
I'm sure
too,
you do.
And it's like, you know, this is the first time they've seen a Latina walking across their yard that they know was a, you know, quote, as the principal would say, you know, we've got some district dignitaries here. And so those are the times that I'll tell you, that's where I thrive. I just love, even as a superintendent, that's where I got my juice. You know, it's where being in the schools, in the classroom, just so that people, the kids in particular, as well as the teachers, you know, I really believe that, you know, teachers, if it wasn't for me being a teacher, I never thought about being in a leadership role. So you also want to share that with, you know, teachers in the classroom that, you know, you're walking through and, think about leadership, you know, as a career path. And so, I think it has that. But I'm telling you, you get more than you give. That's for sure.
Right, you really do. And I wanted to ask you this, and I don't think I've asked you this before, and I don't know if you keep tabs on this. How is the pipeline for people of Latino, Latinx, whatever we want to say, descent? How is the pipeline of folks of that group in education? Do we see a lot of people who are Latino moving into education these days?
You know, I love that question because it has been, you know, really, we've been talking about keeping a pulse on it. It has been the topic of conversation, not only for decades, but certainly a focus in most recent months. And I'll tell you why. There's not one, you know, I had a conversation with some women here in D.C. on my broadcast here last night, and that was a question I actually posed to them, Larry. So, you know, great minds, right, my friend?
Yeah.
But one of the things that we did talk about, because I pushed this notion where, you know, from a personal experience, it was, I always think it's just by, you know, divine intervention and luck of the draw, right, that I even became a teacher. But I think about if I would have known now what I know then as far as,
yeah,
you know, pursuing my career, my education for my career, that there are a lot of correlations between when you want to go into a certain profession. So, for example, you know, kids always hear that by, you know, they want to go up and they want to make money and they want to do this and they want to have this job and blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, we don't really elevate what the profession of teaching and education is all about. And
that's
those
right.
who do, they cannot, they wind up, you know, for folks like me, and obviously from a personal level, I had to take out loans and work, you know. So it's like at the end of that journey, who wants to end up with, you know, a lot of digits behind that number that you've got to pay back? That student
right.
loan debt.
Right.
is a huge factor. No one wants to go into something knowing that they're going to come out with a, you know, gastronomical amount to have to pay back. You know, and thank God I'm in a position to do that, but there are many who are not. And so, you know, I think about that as a deterrent. It's not the only one, but it is a factor. And that's the thing that we need to really have hard conversations and not just talk, you know. I mean, everybody can, you know, grandstand and talk the rhetoric on it and say this, that, or the other, when the reality is there are a lot of variables in that whole system of creating the teachers of color. And it's, there are a lot of, the credentialing pieces. They make it so difficult, they being, you know, our states, because every state wants to outdo the other, and we've got tighter restrictions,
yeah.
and we've got, that makes
yeah.
the other state lesser
yep.
than. I mean, it's like, you know, let go of the egos, and let's look at a national system where teachers that have proven themselves outside of the classroom to be able to teach kids. Because we also have the other issue of people saying they want to become teachers, they go in to the classroom for the first time, and they're like, you know, maybe not so much. and so
right.
and so yeah. you know, you've got to have the heart as well as the mind to be able to really be an effective teacher. Anyone can get that credential at, you know, pretty much at some point, but and I use that term anyone pretty loosely. Because there are a lot of, obstacles even in that. But once you do, it's a whole other ball game when you want to be an effective teacher. And that's what our kids need. So, I think that there's a lot of work to be done. But, that's the heavy lift. And until we have a commission that is so, and this is my own, you know, opinion, it is not of Alas, it is not of anyone, it's my own opinion. Until we have a commission
opinion.
That
yep.
That is truly designated and devoted and committed to addressing the teacher diversity pipeline, will it then be addressed? Been saying this, beating this drum for a while, that which gets assessed gets addressed. Until we do that, you know, it's not gonna have the time and the funding and the people that we need to make it happen. So, you know, that there's my 2 cents and then
it was
some.
Good. It was more than 2 cents. I'd say it was at least a quarter, and I loved it. Okay, as always, what do you say? You know, you brought up so many interesting things, and one of the things you brought up was that sometimes we do too little as educators to push the education profession into the
yep.
kids' minds. We always say we want you to be college career ready. We have a career fair, and there's never an educator there. Okay, there's veterinarians and firefighters and everybody else you can think of, but there's no educators.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And it's amazing because we, and I don't mean to brainwash kids, that's not what I'm talking about, but every kid goes through school, and most of them like their teachers. okay? They certainly like one or two of their teachers, okay? And the more teachers push the kids to understand the value of education, which brings me up to, if you are a teacher, you have skills that you don't even know you have, okay? And you can teach for 5-10 years and go into something else, and you'd be amazed how successful you will be. As an example, the entire education industry, made up of salespeople and content manufacturers and all that sort of stuff, okay? And they're good at it because they have great presentation skills, okay? And they understand the logic of a presentation. And the other thing is, I was talking, I don't know if you know her, you should get to know her. Kathy Hoffman is the state superintendent in Arizona, and she was on the show this past year, and she's a former educator. Okay, you would love her, Maria. You would just, she's just terrific. And they've developed a program where if kids go to school to be a teacher, they will pay back your student loans. Okay,
that
if you
is
actually
awesome.
Become, it is. You should talk to Kathy about this because actually, it's interesting with Arizona. A good many of their public school students are of Latin descent. Okay, so it'd be a nice mix for you. She's really a wonderful person. And the first educator in 2 decades to run the State Department of Education. What do you think of that in Arizona?
Wow. Yeah.
There you go,
yeah.
Kathy Hoffman.
Well,
you guys should know each other.
And I'm glad you shared that because I'll tell you what, in ILAC we have what's called our state affiliates. And all of our state affiliates, we meet once a month. And we've done an incredible pivot this year about how to work as an organization. And one of the areas is obviously addressing this teacher pipeline issue.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is that we're finding, just like you mentioned, there's always been pockets of excellence out there, but that doesn't serve us as a nation. And so in this position, it's like trying to grab all of the states that are doing some amazing things and bring them to the forefront so that they work collectively on an issue to really start to move the dial on it. And so I'm glad you said that because I'll tell you what, AZ ALAS, as we call them, we're going to be tapping that and say, you know, in your backyard, we need to find out, you know, the secret sauce, right? So that we can start to bring that to a national level. And so I appreciate that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And speaking of national level, as we kind of wind down here, talk to me about, have you talked to our illustrious Secretary of Education, Madam Executive Director of ALAS? Yes?
Yeah,
have you guys had a meeting of the minds?
You know, he's been awesome.
He is a good guy.
You know, from the inception of him waiting on confirmation and all that, he has been super, super gracious and has made time. You know, we had a collaborative event just this past month with NABCE, and we called it EdFest 2021. It was the first time that NABCE and ALAS have collaborated on any kind of an event. And I'll tell you, and just for a selfish plug, if anybody ever wants to go and see all of the amazing sessions that we had, you can go to alasedu.org, and the sessions are on the website. The lineup was just, outstanding. And part of that lineup was the opening with Secretary Cardona. And so he opened up by what I thought was going to be about a 3 to 5 minute spiel. You know, I said, really, that's all we need, just because I know how busy you are, because he's like mad busy. And he really took his time, gave us far more than what we imagined, and just kicked our entire 4-day event off to the most amazing start. So we're super, excited that he's just literally 3 blocks away here, and he's moving, he's moving methodically. But he's also moving it at the speed that necessitates the kinds of things that need to happen for our schools, like right now, like yesterday,
Yeah, it is. And what do you think, and believe me, I know that Miguel stands for every student, every teacher. He wants education to work for everybody. But he is of Latino descent. Okay, you work closely. What do you think the impact of him being of Latino descent is going to be on public schools in America? It's a good question these days. His impact.
Yeah, well, you know,
and again, he's a good guy in general. I know that, but I'm just talking in particular in this case. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a product. You know, he's a product of the American public education system.
He sure is.
Well, and here's the thing. I think it circles back to our very opening question. You know, it comes back to that perspective. When you've had a journey a walk, if you will, in a certain pair of shoes, and it's taken you, you know, down some pathways that are not the general, you know, beaten path, it does allow you to take a beat and a breath when making a decision or when providing clarity to a situation. You know, and again, it's like it's like bringing you to, you know, here's the problem, this is what needs to be done. And before saying, okay, you know, run with that, say, but have you considered this? Because it could impact X and Y. And so it gives people pause to be able to say, wow, we never even thought about that. That's because you wouldn't have that perspective. And that's what a good team does. And I think he brings that kind of teamness, having gone through the public education system and also, you know, just in his track record of how to work. You know, this is how to work with others. This is a relational business that we're in. You know,
and I'm going to say it again. He is a really good guy. I know the folks up in Meriden, Connecticut. He knows them quite well. Okay. In fact, Mrs. Cortona worked there. And, you know, I know them very well up there. They're a great fun school district up there. And, you know, they just sing his praises, you know, how good the kids are and his kids, their children. And it that's going to carry over. He's a good guy. You know, this is it's all good. It's all good, Maria. So we're going to do more here. And you know, we got to go, but we want your perspective. I'm going to say this out loud. We want your perspective in our magazine. Our new issue, if you heard me at the beginning, of Equity and Access is out. We would love to have Nalas column in there all the time because we just think you guys are so important, and we think what you do is so important. Okay? Can we do that?
Well, I appreciate that, and I know you give me homework every time, Larry.
I do. I do. That's because I think the world of you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay?
Likewise.
You take care.
Okay,
have a good
care.
Weekend. Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you too, my friend.
Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Alas, Executive Director Maria Armstrong, alasedu.org. I can't say enough about her. She's just she's just incredible. I just love talking to her. She's so enthusiastic. Okay? Check out over at ace-ed.org, our brand new issue. You'll love it. Okay? You'll love every issue. They're all archived there. Okay, all our podcasts are there, ace-ed.org, American Consortium for Equity in Education. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening. And have a nice Easter. Good Friday today.